In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Oh God, thou art my God. Oh, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. My flesh longs for thee as in a dry, thirsty land without water. Oh, Lord, I am so desperate for you, David is saying. I am so desperate for you, oh God. I am desperate for your presence. I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. Oh, my flesh longs for thee. Oh, for thee do I long, oh God, as a dry, weary land without water. Is that the prayer of God's people today? Is that the prayer of the churches today? I long for thee. Or is it we're going to be building a new building? And once the building is built, what are we going to fill it with? What are we going to fill it with? If it's not filled with the presence of God, what's going to happen? If it's not filled with the unction of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? You're going to have another building which you worship, another building which you'll put your oriental rugs in, and the people will not experience the presence of God. What are we into? Are we into building things, or are we into seeking the face of God? Are we into looking to Him who is the Lord? Are we going to be satisfied with really religion? You know, I have nothing against churches. I have nothing against churches. But I'm going to tell you what happens when we have the church. What happens when we have the building? Is it filled with the Holy Ghost? Are people coming and being set free? Are people finding the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the desperate, the needy, the poor, the dispossessed. You know, we as Catholics say, you know, we should have a primary care for the poor, the dispossessed, the needy. Yeah, that's what we say. And what do? We give them to the government. That's what we do. We give them to the government rather than taking them under our wings and supplying for them what they need, because we can give them the gospel. We can give them the presence of God, but we're not interested in that. We're interested in the status quo, all the churches, the status quo, that which we have today, so we'll have it next year and in 20 years. Who needs what we have today in 20 years? I don't need it. We need the presence of God. We need what David cried out for. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. Oh, it longs like in a dry, weary land without water, to see your power, to see your glory. Yes, the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because your loving kindness is better than life. Oh, yes, your loving kindness is better than life. Your covenant love is better than life. Your covenant love is better than wine. Your love, your presence is better than anything that we could ever imagine or think. Oh, Jesus, we do not long for thee. We do not cry out for thee. We do not call out for your presence. We do not say, Lord, we're so desperate. And yet we are desperate. How desperate are we? I'm going to tell you. In the Northeast, we are desperate. This, the Northeast, you know, we are desperate. And how do we reach our people? You know, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, are we going to have another party for them? Are we going to have another pizza time for them? Are we going to have another band for them? Rather than, oh God, we are desperate. We are desperate. Our children are taking overdoses. People have AIDS. This is the sexual revolution, and everyone's sleeping with everybody else. Oh God, we are desperate for a new experience of your presence, because without your presence, nothing will ever happen. Morality will never change. The church will have no effect in the world. We need your presence. We need your presence. I need your presence. You know, I'm going to tell you, I need the presence of God. Oh, I need the presence of God. I need His holy presence. I can't do without His presence. Oh, you know, you can go so long without His presence. But then you have to cry out.
cry out with David, "Oh, I long for you. My thirst for you. I have nothing. If you withhold yourself, you may as well take me. If you withhold yourself, you may as well take me. I don't want to go on unless you pour out your spirit. Unless you pour out your spirit in ways that Lord, I cannot even understand. I need the outpouring of the spirit, the unction of the Spirit of God. I need that. I need him. I need him. I thirst for him. I long for him. I long. It's more than an experience. It's more than an experience. It's that relationship. It's that closeness. It's that presence. It's that love that he has for us. That the psalmist says it's better than life. It's better than life. It's better than life. As I said on WECE, I have never heard of so many people that have taken their lives lately.
And that it's
people
Christmas.
Call me up.
But did you know that Christmas is a mere three?
They are so desperate. They have reached a wall. They have reached another wall. They have reached another wall. They have reached another wall. And the only thing that can help them is if God pour out his spirit in such a way that they start to experience that love which is mercy, that love which is free, that love which cuts through all the pain they've gone through. Well, yes, I have people calling me, and you know, these are the people that many people don't want. They don't want them. I call this little place Holy Rosary, the last stop. You know, on the MBTA, the last stop on the Blue Line is Wonderland. I tell you, the last stop, it's Holy Rosary. When people have that absolutely with their back against the wall and they can't do anything else, they start calling us. They need prayer. I had a mother calling me just last week because her baby had a deadly disease, cystic fibrosis. And, oh, what do you do when mama calls and says, I have a 14-day-old baby that I'm holding in my arms, and they say she has cystic fibrosis, and that's a deadly disease. Like, what do you do? I say, honey, we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God that Jesus Christ has better plans for Maggie than I have, than you have, than the doctors have. Then she said, then what are you going to do? I said, we're going to pray now, and we're going to celebrate Mass today, and we're going to believe she doesn't have cystic fibrosis. We're going to believe it was a wrong diagnosis. We're going to believe God is healing Maggie, 14 days old. Well, I got a beautiful letter yesterday from her mother and from her aunt, and her mother and her grandmother, the baby's grandmother, stating that Maggie is free from cystic fibrosis. She is a healthy 24-day-old baby. She's gorgeous. They sent me her picture. I thank God that God hears and answers prayer. I thank God that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. I thank God that the Lord heard the cry of a mother, the cry of a mother. Today at the Children's Hospital, how many mothers are crying out unto God? How many mothers are crying out unto God because their children have sickness, because they have leukemia, because they have cancer of the brain, because they have cystic fibrosis? How many mothers are crying out for God, and who will pray? Who will pray? Who will stretch out their hand and pray and believe that God is going to intervene? And then someone says, you're giving them hope. Hope, I'm giving them the gospel. If you see, if I cannot give them the gospel, I'm going to fold up my tent and I'm going to go do something else. But what if they're not healed? I can't heal them, but I can pray. I can pray that God can intervene, and God will intervene. That's what I can do. I can't do anything else. I can't do anything else. You know, when someone goes for chemotherapy, you know what happens if it doesn't work? Well, you know what? They're doing the best they can. The only thing we can do is pray, seek God, seek his presence. This is what the church needs, the presence of God, the presence of God, the awesome presence of God. We don't need another building. We don't need another function. We don't need another group. We need Jesus to come with his presence. We need what Moses experienced, to see him face to face. We need to know that he is still on the throne and that his presence changes people. That's what we need. That's what we need. We don't need, you know, what is evangelization all about? You see, you can evangelize people's heads, but unless they experience God, what good is it? What good is it? You accept Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. Come into my heart. Ho, 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 and a ha, ha, ha. Rather than, oh, my Jesus, I am desperate for you. I cannot go any further. I long for you. I thirst for you. I tell you, those who long and thirst for the Lord will not be disappointed. But who longs and thirsts for the Lord? You see, we're into status quo religion. We're into let's just continue doing the best we can, rather than saying, we're on the wrong track. We're on the wrong track. We're on the wrong track. Our track is on the earth, and we may need to seek him who is in heaven. As the scripture told us yesterday that the church gave us, that we have a great high priest seated above the heavens, whoever lives to make intercession for us, that we have a great high priest, his name is Jesus Christ, who offered himself once and for all, ever to make intercession for us. It also tells us in Ephesians that we are seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Oh God, we need your presence. We need heaven to come down. We have enough of the earth. We are so earthbound and earth-led that we don't know what to do. We need the grace of God that comes from heaven, the presence of God that comes from heaven. That's what we need, Lord. We are so desperate. We are so desperate. We are so desperate. You are at the Father's right hand, and you hear me, Jesus. I need your presence. We need a new outpouring of your presence, that when people come into the Holy Rosary, they won't know what hit them because of the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus, the glory of God coming from the Eucharistic Lord, the glory of God coming from the praises of the people. We are desperate for you, O God. We are desperate for you. But do we call out our desperation? Oh, no, we don't call out our desperation. We need a job. Oh, we need a new automobile. Oh, we need groceries. No, no. Oh, God, you are my God. I long for you. My soul thirsts for you. I thirst for the living God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I behold the face of God? Oh, I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. I am desperate for your presence. I am desperate for your presence. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Agnes. St. Agnes was a little girl, and her name Agnes means lamb. And you know what they did to her? They burned her at the stake. She was an offering unto the Lord, an offering unto the Lord. She was an offering unto the Lord. She was a pleasing fragrance in union with Jesus. Today in the church calendar, we celebrate a little girl who was an offering unto the Lord, someone who loved Jesus Christ, that she lived no longer for herself, that she allowed herself to be killed, burned at the stake. My friends, where is that kind of religion that we're living in today in the West? That people offer themselves to Jesus. Where is that kind of faith? Where is that kind of faith? Oh, no, Lord, we need a new automobile. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Rather than, oh, Jesus, without your presence, we cannot go on. We need you, God. We need that you would pour out your presence upon us. We need you, Lord, because without your presence, people will not be changed. We need you, Lord, to fulfill Joel's prophecy. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. We need the fulfillment of the coming of the Spirit upon all flesh. We are desperate, Lord. We do not even know our left hand from our right. We are just like the people in Nineveh. We don't know our left hand from our right, and yet we call ourselves Christian, and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. We don't know A from B, God. We don't know. We just know how to do what we're doing, and it's not working. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. It's not working. It's not working. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting to get different results. It's not working. You know, you don't have to be Ignatius of Loyola to know that religion in the Northeast is not working. It's not working. It's not, and it's never going to work until the presence of God comes. I don't care what program it is. I don't care if it's my program. I don't care if it's your program. I don't care whose program it is. Unless the glory of God comes, it's not going to work. Unless the Spirit of God comes sovereignly. Do you hear that word, sovereignly? But I'm afraid we'd be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid we'd be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, on the day of Pentecost, there was a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole place, and there were tongues of fire that alighted on their heads. I wonder what we would do if that happened today. We'd call 911 to put out the fire, rather than to say, let's continue to fan the fire. Let the wind blow that the fire would spread. We'd call 911 because you know what? It was dangerous. It's dangerous. We might get burnt. That's right, like St. Agnes. We might be martyrs. That's right. Or we might have to live our faith. That's right. Rather than come to church. And you know what? That's not even working. People don't come. People don't come. People don't come. Collections are down. People are down. People don't come. You know why? God wants us to cry out for his presence. God wants us to cry out for him. God wants us to seek the face of the living God. God wants us. That's what he wants. You. He wants you. He wants me. That's what he wants. He doesn't want what we can give him. He wants our lives. He wants that we would live no longer for ourselves, but for him. That's what he wants. He's not satisfied with our tithe. He wants our tithe. He wants our offerings. He wants our lives. He wants us to be so committed to him that no matter what happens, we are not going to quit. We are in desperate need of his presence. St. Paul tells the Galatian community about the presence of God and how they were healed because they heard with faith. Oh, he talks about that. In the Corinthian community, he says he did not come with eloquent words of philosophical experience, but he came with an unction and mighty power of the Holy Spirit. He tells another group of people that they had already tasted the things of heaven, and now they were turning back. They had tasted the fruit of heaven. We need the fruit of heaven. We need the fruit of heaven. We have a great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us, seated in the heavens. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. Where he is, we are. He is the head. We are the body. Where the head is, the body is. Where the body is, the head is. We are so earthly bound that we know nothing of heaven. We are so earthly bound that we know nothing of heaven. Nothing. And yet the only thing that's going to work in the United States of America is if heaven seeps into our churches, the very presence of the living God, the very outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the tangible presence of God. I'm not talking about the omnipresence. I'm talking about the tangible presence where the people breathe in that presence of God and their lives get changed because there is an anointing. There is an outpouring. And there is, get this word, a longing, a thirsting, a hungering for him. A longing, a thirsting, and a hungering for him. That the psalmist says that your presence, your loving kindness, your covenant love is better than life. It's better than life. It's better than life. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Lord, for those who do not want the Holy Spirit, I'll take this share. Come, Holy Spirit, come. O Spirit of love, I praise you. O Spirit of adoption, I praise you. O Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, I praise you. O Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, I praise you. O Holy Spirit who dwells in the hearts of every believer, I praise you. O Holy Spirit who leads us to Jesus Christ.
Christ in the throne of God. I praise you. I worship you. I adore you. I long for you, Holy Spirit. Even as a child, I longed for you. I didn't even know you, but I longed for you. I remember when I was a child that I received a beautiful silver medal of the dove and placed it around my neck. I didn't even know there was power that was available. I didn't even know there was your tangible presence. I didn't even know, but you caused me to long for you. You caused me to long for you. Oh, fulfill that longing. Fulfill that longing. If you fulfill it in me, I will not keep it to myself. I will not keep it to myself. I will extend myself as much as I can. I will die more. I need your presence. I need your presence. We need your presence. We need you to do something that's not happening on the church. We need that you would show up, Lord. We've had enough concerts. We've had enough pizza. We've had enough parties. We need the gospel. We need change from the inner man. We need your presence. Give us the grace to long for your presence. Give us the grace to hunger for you. I want to hunger for you. I repent for not hungering for you. I repent for not thirsting for you. I repent for not seeking your face. I repent, Lord, I need you. I need you. And I tell you, Lord, if you do this, you know I will not keep it to myself. You know I will extend myself. You know me. You've been with me since I was in the womb. For the sake of your people. For the sake of your people, Lord. The ones who call me that are desperate. The ones who want to kill themselves. Oh, for the sake of your people, Lord. You wept over Jerusalem, Lord. Weep over the northeast. Weep over us, O God. Your people. They don't even know their left hand from their right. You must manifest your presence, Lord. I do not say, please manifest. I say, you must, Lord. You must. There is no doubt that you must, unless we self-destruct, and that is not your will. That is not your will. It is not your will that your churches would self-destruct. Is your will that you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, that there would be a tangible presence in the church. Oh, that's your will. That's your will. And I say, let it come, Lord. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Prepare us to receive your spirit in ways we've never experienced. Prepare us to be martyrs like St. Agnes. Prepare us. Prepare us with your awesome gift that shines, the glory shining on the face of Jesus. Prepare us. Prepare us. Prepare us. We long for you, O God. We long for you. And if we don't, give us the gift to long for you, to cry out for you, to seek you. As the hind longs for the running stream, so my soul longs for you, O Lord. A thirst is my soul for God, for the living God. When shall I behold your face? When shall I behold your face? Like Moses on Mount Sinai. Oh God, come and meet with us in ways that are beyond our expectations. As we heard during the week, far more than you could ever think or imagine. I trust in you that you will do it. Here, I trust in you. You are welcome here. You are totally. in me, in this place called Holy Rosary. You are welcome, because without you, we will self-destruct. I thank you for what you have done, but Lord, I thirst for more, for the sake of the people who call me, that have no hope. You, we have on Saturday Mass at 5:30, followed by a healing service at tomorrow, and also on Sunday the 11 o'clock Mass. You're welcome to come. I will be celebrating both of these Eucharists, and you're welcome to come and worship with us. On Sunday evening, we'll be praising God and dancing around and calling on the presence of God, because we need the presence of God. So I invite you Sunday evening at 7:30, Saturday evening tomorrow, the Eucharist at 5:30, followed by a healing service, and on Sunday at 11 o'clock. Tonight is Friday. We will be having, I'll be celebrating the Eucharist at 7:30. Confessions will be heard, and we'll have adoration all night. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.